Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, this next story is a fitting one, with Anzac Day being commemorated this week, Duncan.
Yes, it's about a former rehab soldier farm, or ballot block, in eastern Wairarapa. The farm's a sheep and beef farm called Tarewa, and it had been in the Hay family since Richard Hay's father drew his name out of a ballot for returned servicemen. The land's just recently been sold into forestry, so Richard held an auction on farm to get rid of his surplus gear. Our producer, Janina Schwanaker, grew up on a neighbouring block, so she thought she'd head home to find out more about Richard's time on the land and what a good second-hand tractor goes for these days.
It's a beautiful day here in Wairarapa. The sun is shining and people have already started turning up to the sale.
I don't think I've ever seen the wool sheds this busy.
There must be close to, I'd say, 60 or so cars. Several dozen parked up here in the paddock outside the wool shed. Lots of familiar faces, locals and other neighbouring properties.
We will notify you when those items come up. We sell everything here today, ladies and gentlemen, on an as-is-where-is basis. I'd just like to hand you over now to Richard to say a few words of welcome and to tell you a little bit about our first lot, the tractor.
Richard Hay has farmed the land here since taking over from his dad. He's been a neighbour to my parents since I was a kid. Now, he's sold up, and along with the farm is selling off a host of machines and farming tools collected over the course of a lifetime.
Lot number one, ladies and gentlemen, and a very attractive tractor to start with too. Looks like it's in excellent condition. Lot number one, brand new, they're worth north of 140,000 here today. He's got what? He's got 90,000, 85, got 80. He's got 75, 70 and away. 70,000. Right, you're all in. 60,000, let's go. And $1,000 all the way here. $60,000, $60,000.
I spoke to Richard about the sale and his time on the farm. He's a sheep and beef farmer through and through, living on the Castle Point Road, about 20 minutes east of Masterton. It's an old rehab farm that was claimed by his dad. I'll tell you more about that later. The farm is called Tarewa.
The meaning of Tarewa means mortgage and marry.
Feels very appropriate for farming.
And my parents started on a farm in 1949. I just followed in my father's footsteps, really, like my brother did, and we just carried on farming. I didn't think I'd actually be here. I thought my brother would have been here. But he went off. Father had a farm in Purino, and he went that way. And I had the opportunity here, that sort of way the thing timing went.
And so you've been here farming the land yourself for over 40 years now.
Sue and I have been here for 44 years. And
we're basically sheep and beef. Breeding property, ewes, about 4,000 ewes, and between 190 and 200 cows. We're selling the weaners in the autumn.
The decision to sell, especially into forestry, hasn't been an easy one.
It's been up and down over the years. Going through the late 80s with a huge high interest rates, which is much similar as to what's happening now. Similar sort of circumstances. I think this may be even worse. And Sue and I had got to the stage where we didn't need to go through this again. So we still, by buying properties, we'd had to have a mortgage. And so we decided, well, let's move on.
Is that a little bit about, you know, what's factored into the decision to sell the farmers? Yeah, all of the difficulties and the market uncertainty facing farmers these days.
Yes, it is too. Yeah, it is. Yeah, some people might know that I lost my son, James, 13 years ago, and he was coming on board. At 33, he was running the farm and doing everything, and Sue and I were stepping back, but then I had to step back in and take over the farm. In the last 5 years, it's been pretty tough, as I've wanted to try and keep things going. I've
had a sort of love-hate relationship with the farm, and to come to grips with it. It always keeps dragging me back into things which I want to move away from. And so that was one of our main decisions, to move on and stop worrying about too much anymore, have a bit better end to our lives, and yeah.
Enjoy some time off the land, I suppose.
Yeah, and look for a new opportunity. Well, not opportunities, but looking for something else to do, something different, totally different, perhaps, and keep Sue and I occupied and doing some new adventures or more travel and those sorts of things.
Can you tell me how you are feeling about the upcoming sale of the property?
It hasn't really hit me yet, but it's starting to. When I go out on the farm, I look around and think, well, this might be the last time I see this part of that farm, and yeah.
With the farm going into forestry, a clearing sale was organised for all its now surplus gear. Now back to the tractor sale. The bidders are shy and won't go much above 64,000.
64,000.
With the reserve not met, the tractor's still available. Though the tractor didn't sell, there were plenty of others. As the sale progressed, the crowd warmed up and the bidding wars started. Paul Kuchenbecker walked away happy with his plough.
Well, I managed to score a plough for Farrah for $200 plus GST, and I'm quite happy because now I can go and plant my sunflowers for next year.
Quite happy with the price you walked away with?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a bit higher budget, so I'm quite happy.
Any other items you've got your eye on?
Nah, just wanted that actually.
Yep. So you've done quite well for yourself today?
Yep, quite pleased. I think the wife will be pleased too.
That's always good.
The items for sale catalogue the many changes seen during Richard's time on the farm. I saw at the sale there's a range of different items from various periods of your farming history. Obviously, I saw the old pack saddle and the hand shears. In what ways has the technology changed during your time as a farmer?
From the old pack saddle, which was my father's, and I used to do a bit of pack saddling when I was shepherding in Gisborne, but surplus to requirements. The technology sides of things, it's when I used to start doing books for the bank and over doing budgets, is all by on a cash book and those sorts of things. But as the computer industry got better and better, of course, it's second to none now. And emails and all that sort of thing has been huge and a heck of a lot simpler than what it used to be. Yeah, those sort of things. And the modern technology that's come through on sheep farming with modern machinery, with handling sheep and crutching and weighing and scanning. Scanning sheep, that's been really a big advance. Knowing exactly what you've got in the sheep and or in the cows, and so you can manage the multiples differently, and hopefully get a bit better survival rather than just shoving them all in one paddock and having them all go hungry. But anyway,
so you've seen quite a few changes in that time in terms of where the profitability is and how hard it is to make a profit sometimes.
I certainly have. We've had to change focus sort of when we sold the Hereford, or moved on from the Hereford, started to focus more on the commercial cattle scene, and then focus more. I had to push myself to push and focus more on my sheep to get the income levels up there, whereas I was mainly really keen on my cattle more than my sheep. If anything had to be short of feed, it would be a sheep rather than a cattle beast. But
what type of cattle do you have here?
I have a Hereford Angus Cross, or Angus Hereford Cross, whichever way you want to put it. So one of the positives at the moment is beef. Lamb has gone down at the moment, but I think it'll another couple of years, once a few hiccups come out of the system, it'll pick up again.
The sale was also a chance to catch up with neighbours and friends. Murray Tomlin farms just down the road and helped with the setup.
Yeah, well, the Hayes have been here since about 1950. His father.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they settled the rehab units. Because it was him and then Jimmy Hay. And then there was the three up Air Road and then the two up the Tipara Road. It's, you know, the seven rehab farms in the district, and his father had the ones.
Is it quite a strange feeling for you, knowing that they won't necessarily be here anymore after such a long time?
Well, he's the last other rehab farmer left. Most of those, the second generation took over the farms with all of them bar one, and now all those generations, Rich is the last to go, and I'm the last man standing. It's a thing, you know, when my oldest brother started school down here, I think there were 17 kids at the school. When I left the school, there was something like 53.
Mm.
So that's a rural community that built up, and now it's, you know, it's quite sad to feel that both of those blocks, bar a couple of hundred hectares, are all going to be in pine trees. Now they're getting thicker and thicker from here to the coast, which is something, that's the bit that really saddens me. Because this pine tree thing, I believe what the day will come when the country will rue the fact, you know, it's ruining rural communities, absolutely ruining them.
Rehab farms are a core part of the Wairarapa farming community's history. The government helped many returned servicemen onto rehab or ballot block farms. Land was acquired from larger stations, paid for at the government valuation, with the land then put in a ballot and returned servicemen's names drawn from a hat. A lot of the land in this area, these were rehab settlement farms for returned soldiers.
That's right. Some of the bigger stations had bits cut off them. And to help with all these returned servicemen coming back home, to get some of the land broken in and more productive. Yeah, things like introduction of superphosphate into the systems made a huge difference to New Zealand farming. And Sue and I came here in 1980, bought the Bryant property next door to my parents, and the two returned servicemen always, my father and John Bryant, always had the agreement if either one of them sold out that they would sell to each other, offer it to each other, and we happened to be first married and had the opportunity to buy the property back in 1980.
I asked Richard about his dad's service.
My father, he served in Italy until later on in the war. He was wounded, then came home. And then after that, he came home, and then he went back to driving cattle. And then he got married in about 48 or 47, I'm not quite sure about my parents. Anyway, and then he got jobs on places like Glenbean Station with his dog skills, and he was a very good dog trialist and won New Zealand championships and things with his dogs. And then he moved on to managing a property in Turamia, and then he had the opportunity to take on the rehab block in 1949. He came and looked at it, and luckily his name came out of the hat and he got the farm, yeah. But mostly this country's been very clear, and there's no gorse on here, thank goodness. It would have been another mortgage. And that sort of things, it was all we had to, my parents had to do, and the Bryants had to do, was start fencing it up. This property, the full 1,430 acres of two properties combined, for a start, was, how do I describe it, five paddocks in total. Out of 1,400 acres, and they're pretty big, and rabbit fenced. So there's a big rabbit problem here.
How many paddocks do you have nowadays compared?
I've got about 105 paddocks over the whole farm now.
Inside the woolshed, the sale continues. There's sheep handling gear and some household goods.
$3 to $5. Ladies and gentlemen, that completes the offering. Thank you for your spirit of being in attendance.
2 hours later, and the sale comes to a close. Just like that, a lifetime of farming memories sold on. Wayne Stewart of PGG Wrightson organised the sale. I asked him how it went.
Oh, very well, overall. Some of the big ticket items haven't sold, but we've got people still showing interest, and one's heading off to just talk to his bank manager, so that's a bit sort of sign of the times in the farming sector, really.
I hear that's the tractor. Some negotiations going on there.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And any surprises that you found?
Oh, lots of surprises. One or two disappointments, but I had a lot of surprises, yeah.
And happy with the turnout as well?
Oh, very happy. Yeah, very happy. I think we had just under 60 registered buyers today, I think.
Do you find that these type of farm sales where we're selling farm equipment are becoming more common as we see more farms being sold out of farming?
Oh, definitely. And I think that's been reflected in some of the prices of some of the equipment that's being sold, because there are so many farms going into pine trees now. There's probably almost a surplus of equipment out there in the farming sector.
Anything you would have been tempted by yourself at all, or for a friend?
I did actually buy a few things today.
Oh, you did? What did you take on?
I bought a kayak for the grandkids and a grater blade for the drive to get rid of the potholes.
Oh, good on you.
With the sale wrapped up, people start collecting their winning bids. Richard seemed happy.
How are you feeling about how that went today?
Pretty good, really. I think most things have sold. Just about a total clearance, and some things went cheap, but and some others went for better money than I thought they would should.
Any big surprises there?
Not really. Yeah, I didn't sell the big ticket item, but
a big tractor.
I've got a guy interested in that, so a
bit more negotiation maybe.
Yeah, he's got to go to the bank and ask for more money, and we'll see what happens there.
Happy with the turnout and everything? Good day for it as well?
Oh, it's been a great day, and good to see a few old farming friends and faces and those sort of things. Saying farewell, where we're going, and all those questions that come out when you sell your farm. It's been a really interesting day and a couple of weeks getting organised for all this. Yeah.
Big day,
yeah.
Starting to feel a bit more real, I suppose.
It is, really.
I asked Richard, what comes next?
The 1st of May, we're supposed to be leaving here, moving on the house into the new house in town. But we still got our livestock on, some of our sheep will still be on. With an agreement with the people who bought the property, they're planting pine trees and they want us to keep the grass under control up until it's planted, and that'll start probably second week of June, and we'll be out of here hopefully by the 20th of June with our livestock, and then that'll be all signed over to the new owners.
And I hear that you're probably going to keep on working a little bit in agriculture every now and then, possibly chasing the seasons with some contract driving maybe, or
yes I will be. I know I've been approached by my neighbour to be a tractor driver, and I've had two or three offers of doing that, or tractor driving, or driving a truck or something. Just something going around off my trolley.
Yeah. keep me busy.
I've got a few projects for the first 6 months. And once we get to town, a bit of building and fencing to do, and a bit of landscaping. Most of it will be done, but get it to Sue's design, what she wants.
Yeah, very sensible, smart man. Oh, well, it won't be the same without you guys next door, I'll be honest.
Oh, thank you.
I imagine, a bit bittersweet for you, possibly.
It is, yeah.
Richard shared some parting advice.
You just put one foot in front of the other, and when tough times get tough, you try and keep your chin up and focus on the positive stuff and don't get too dragged down. If you do, you've got to stop yourself from getting too far down in the dumps, it'll just drag yourself down. Yeah.
A day at a time type thing.
Yeah, you do. You take a day, you achieve that. So it's a bit like this selling the farm. Sue and I are just taking a day at a time. Everything's been coming at us for the last month. And, people calling in and, yes.
Oh, pesky journalist neighbours.
No, it's... wanting to buy things and that sorts of things. Yeah, so it's been interesting, that's for sure.
That was Richard Hay. Janina also spoke to Paul Kuchenbecker, Murray Tomlin and Wayne Stewart. Tarewa's cattle were sold on Wednesday. The remaining ewes will be sold in early June after scanning, and then the farm will be planted up as a commercial forest.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.